All right, let's go ahead and get started. So welcome everyone to Mobile Device Management for Office 365. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Scott Schnall. I'm a Senior Program Manager on the Office 365 Customer Experience team. Just out of curiosity, how many of you are already using some form of mobile device management in your organization? All right, about half of you. All right. Well, today we've got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. We'll talk a little bit about the trends around mobility and the bring-your-own-device phenomenon. We'll talk about what we're doing in terms of mobile device management for Office 365. I'm going to do some demos. Some of them are going to be live demos that will be using our dog food system, this is our pre-release system that we have for Microsoft Intune. And then others will be screen mock-ups that will walk you through the end-user experience. So you'll see things from both sides, both the administrator and end-user perspective. But some caveats, though, for a lot of what you're going to see today, including the Intune stuff, we're still developing that. It has not been released. The pre-release code is actively being developed on as we'll be using it. So there may be glitches that we run into, there may be funny looking error messages, there may be functionality that you see today that might not be in the final version, or whatever you see today might be exactly what we're shipping. Because again, it's pre-release, we just haven't finished it yet. So keep that in mind, the visuals, the mock-ups, and even the live dog food service that you're gonna see is nothing that's been released or real things just yet. So things are still subject to change somewhat. All right, so with that, I'm guessing that given that half of you in the room already said that you have some form of mobile device management going on, that maybe you're better prepared than many organizations that are out there. But there are some changes that some organizations are starting to make. So as an example, within the next few years, about 50% of employers are going to start requiring employees to bring in their own devices, and they're not going to be providing devices for their employees themselves. So that could be, you know, an issue to think of. One thing I'll point out is, as we talk about these particular statistics, these are not Microsoft's statistics. These are largely from Gartner and the other press releases you can see down on the slide in the fine print when you download them from Yammer. You can see the actual citations as to where this information is coming from. But that's a lot. You know, 50%, half of employers have said that the next few years, I'm not buying devices for my employees anymore. I'm going to instead require them to bring in their own if they want some form of mobile experience. About 90% of enterprises have already said they're going to have at least two mobile operating systems that they'll have to support by 2017. And I'd be willing to bet, for those of you who are admins, that you're probably already supporting at least two. Anybody supporting more than three? Maybe the trifecta of iOS, Android, and Windows? Okay. Anybody supporting two? All right. A few of you. All right. Well, that will likely change for you in the future as well. And then about 93% of employees, if they're surveyed anonymously, of course, they will happily admit that they have violated information security policies by the corporation. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they violated it through some mobile device, but the mobile devices do make it a lot more easier and convenient to be able to do those kinds of things. But they freely admit that they've violated security policies. But the majority of them, not because they were malicious in their intent, but simply because the policies were too restrictive and they were preventing them from getting their work done. So a typical example is I was given a small mailbox by my employer, so sometimes I have to send stuff out with my Hotmail account, that kind of stuff. And then about 80% of employees admit to using these non-approved software as a service applications to do their jobs. Again, the Hotmail metaphor, the Gmail, or whatever personal apps they may be using to share and collaborate corporate information with. So that's some fairly interesting statistics. And again, some come from Gartner, some from CompTIA, self-surveys that were conducted as well. So let's think about device management with Office 365 today. Well, there's largely three choices that you have, although the third choice doesn't really offer you much. But the first choice would be the native Exchange ActiveSync. Okay, so that's fairly understood by probably everybody in the room, I would hope. If you've been doing Exchange for a while, you should largely know ActiveSync. But if you don't know ActiveSync, there are some challenges with it. It really was not designed largely for all the different ways in which it's currently being used. So that's why you have course controls, like pin lock for the entire device, not just for individual applications. It's one key gets you into everything. Same thing with wiping the data. If you want to wipe the device, you don't selectively wipe with an ActiveSync client. You wipe the entire device and set it back to factory settings. And the policies as well, those are possibly enforceable, possibly not, because it depends on how the particular device manufacturer has implemented the ActiveSync protocol. The protocol and the policies are two different things. So the fact that somebody implements the ActiveSync protocol and can sync a device has no bearing on whether or not they've also created the UI controls and the other mechanisms for creating policies on the device, like a PIN policy or a wipe policy or a password policy and so forth. With OAuth for devices, you get a lot more control. It's a much, much better experience. So obviously, it's not just ActiveSync devices. It's devices from non-Microsoft as well, so iOS and Android. You have the ability to enforce application-level passwords, not just a password for the entire device. You can wipe just an application or just its data, and that includes if you install the Office applications and connect it up to a workspace. You can target just that data within what we call our walled garden, and then you can apply that either to an entire org in terms of policies or individuals for a per-device policy if you want. Yes?
How would you wipe
No, the wipe command itself, if you're using OAuth for devices, the wipe command is designed to only remove the corporate data. So that would be anything inside what we would call our walled garden. Now, we used to actually talk a little bit about the walled garden in this presentation, but we've added some new content. But you, if you download this from the Yammer site, there's a hidden appendix that still talks about it. But basically, we treat the apps that are associated with your connected workplace account differently from the native apps and any other apps that are outside that account wall. So anything that is in that wall, that is corporate data, you can wipe and that data is gone. Anything that is outside that wall on the device remains completely intact, and that would be considered end user's data.
So is OneDrive that has now OneDrive for Business built into it considered part of that wall?
Yeah, we're going to talk about OneDrive and some examples for conditional access as well. And with other apps, you really have no control over that stuff. So if you're just using the native Office apps without any MDM, so Excel, Word, PowerPoint, and OneDrive, without any MDM, you have no controls over that stuff. But if you're using it with MDM for Office 365, then all of those apps become part of that walled garden as well. So, and you can see a little bit of what it looks like. So MDM is really, for Office 365, a combination of Microsoft Intune and then the built-in stuff that we have with Intune in Office 365. So how many of you have heard of Intune? Because most likely the Intune that I'm talking about today is different from the Intune that you know. You probably know Windows Intune. Okay, just to confuse you, this is Microsoft Intune. And so the Intune that you're going to see today, you're actually going to see the live development site, is the Microsoft Intune that will be coming out next year, providing all these MDM features for you. So you can't do this today with Windows Intune. Don't go and hook up your Office 365 accounts to Windows Intune unless you have other Intune reasons to do that. This stuff will not work for you today. So the primary features, aside from us taking what we call a user-centric approach, because again, recognizing that the majority of these devices will eventually be user-owned devices and not corporate-owned devices, we want to make sure that we can seamlessly divide the user data and the user information from the corporate data for security, privacy, remote wipe, and all those other experiences. So there's three primary pillars here that are built in. One is the conditional access, and that's there to allow corporations to enable secure access into the corporate data by requiring the devices to enroll before they get access to that data. And I'm going to walk you through what that enrollment process looks like. And then that conditional access also allows the company to control what they can do. So, for instance, only get email and documents that are managed by your company on that device. For device management, that would be doing things like setting policies, so maybe like device-level PIN or jailbreak detection. So if you want to make sure that your users aren't bringing any devices that have been jailbroken onto your network, you can block those or at least detect them and have an audit mechanism to create a list of them in your environment. If you're not familiar with that term, jailbreaking is when you have a device that's normally connected to a carrier, you make some hardware modifications to it, and now it's unlocked and you can put basically any SIM in there. And then there's the selective wipe, and this is where you can perform just a wipe of the Office 365 data while leaving all of the user's personal data completely intact. And so these MDM capabilities, they're built into Office 365. They're powered by Microsoft Intune, not Windows Intune, but Microsoft Intune. And Microsoft Intune is designed to be the comprehensive device and app management portal for you to use for not just devices, obviously phones and tablets, but for PCs in your organization as well. And although we're talking about this in the context of Office 365, there's actually a whole bunch of extra things that Microsoft Intune can do outside of Office 365 as well. So there's other value add you can do outside of the Office experience, things like managed applications, as an example. These new MDM capabilities, we're planning on rolling them out in the first quarter of next year, so sometime between now and the end of March. And they will work with Android, iOS, and Windows devices, Windows phones. All right. Let's talk about conditional access. So before a mobile device can access any Office 365 data, they have to be enrolled and they have to be healthy. And then after they have enrolled, if any policies are violated or if the device becomes unhealthy, they will be restricted in terms of what it can access. Yes, sir.
I want to make sure I notice it says before mobile devices can access. So if a person is on their home laptop, not the company laptop,
No, so we're looking primarily for devices on which you're using workplace-connected apps. So if they're on home on their laptop and they want to access OneDrive for Business, they can just log in through the web browser to the Office 365 portal, click on that new grid that we've displayed, and then that will show all the apps, and then they just click on OneDrive, and they go into their OneDrive. So this is really different. This is for policies. So the enrollment process in this case is completely user-driven, doesn't require an administrator to, you know, approve every single device. All the user has to do is be provisioned, and then they have to have authentication. Once they've done that, they can get conditional access. So you can see here as we walk through the steps, there's really just the five steps in the case of OneDrive that they have to go through. They download the OneDrive app, and in this case, we're demoing on an iPad. They try to log into it through the app, and then they get a message that says your device has to be enrolled. So they go through the enrollment process, which activates the device. Then once the device has been MDM enabled, the UI will be expected to change to show that lock. Although again, these are mock-ups, so that could change. But then the OneDrive app will have some sort of UI change that will indicate it's now MDM enabled. Once it's MDM enabled, then they'll be able to access their OneDrive data. Pretty simple process. And again, first quarter of next year, it's coming out. Yes, ma'am.
Is this going to be restricted to so many devices it's allowed to be registered for one user?
You do have the ability to limit the number of devices that can be registered per user, but I don't think by default there is one. But you do have the ability, and well, we can dig into the UI and see if there's a maximum number that comes up in a bit. Okay, so that's one aspect of conditional access. I'll show you some other mock-up demos on iPad and Windows in a little bit. Okay, so device management, that's all around the device policies. So that gives you the ability to enforce device policies such as a PIN lock or that jailbreak detention that I mentioned earlier, and pretty much allow you to control what devices can connect to the network. That's completely up to the administrator. So if there's some device that you don't want to connect, you don't have to allow that device to connect. From the admin controls, you do have built-in management. There is a built-in group functionality that you can use, so you can apply policies to a whole group of people. So if everybody's using the same device and you want to apply policies to all those people, you can do that very quickly in the UI. Or if you want to, you can have different policies for each group and do very granular control within those policies and apply them to different groups. This will be inside the MDM console in Intune.
Oh, so this is
Intune.
Yes. Intune.
Yes.
This manages Intune. Okay.
Correct. And then the device reporting is looking at the logs, so the compliance logs on the devices, looking at the mobile usage, looking at trends, looking at devices that aren't healthy, and so forth. All right, and then selective wipe, again, this is our ability to target just that corporate connected data, just that Office 365 data that is tied to that user account. So you can see, as an example, on the left-hand side, you see that the employee has Office 365 apps, they've got their data on a mobile device, they leave the company. Okay, so now the administrator wants to make sure that the data is gone from the device. So they go into the Office 365 Admin Center, and they perform a selective wipe. And we call it a selective wipe because it's choosing just that Office 365 data. But there's nothing special that they have to look for selective wipe. And then at that point, the Office 365 data is removed. All the applications with personal information remain intact. And at this point, the device has all corporate data sanitized and removed from it.
So
yes?
So the configuration is done through Intune?
The policy, right. Right. But the wipe can be done through Office 365. But this, well, again, the Intune stuff is still being developed. How it will manifest inside the Office 365 UI experience is not completely done yet.
Right. So where I'm going is, are you going to have to get someone like a GA, global admin role, to do that stuff? Or
no.
No,
they don't need any more permissions than what they needed, for instance, with ActiveSync to perform a wipe. It's the same granular level of permissions.
Scott, quick question.
Yes?
It is two separate subscriptions, right?
Office 365 is a separate subscription from Microsoft Intune. Yes, but you can tie them together. So as an example, if the one way that you do it is when you go to the Microsoft Intune site, which again you cannot do today because it's not publicly available, but the experience is you go to the Microsoft Intune site and there is a login page where you can sign up for an account, but there's also a link there that says log in with your Office 365 credentials. So you do that, and when you authenticate, that will start a back-end process to connect the Intune service with your Office 365 account and synchronize all the objects and data, and then start lighting up your policies and things like that. But they are separate services and separate subscription fees as well.
Yeah, this is where I'm getting a little confused because I'm trying to look at it. What do we get just with Office 365? And some of the I thought we could get just 365,
you're saying you have to add it into it. Right, so I probably should have been a little clearer here. Today, just with Office 365, without using Intune, these are the choices that you have. So if you continue to not use Intune when it's released, these will remain the choices that you have. EAS, which is not very granular. OAuth for devices, which is kind of granular, but it only talks to OAuth, doesn't deal with the other Office apps or other Office data. And then with the other apps, you have no control over that. So the key here is with Office 365, you get a very small set of MDM-type capabilities, and largely those are the ones that come with the native ActiveSync stack. But there are a few things that you can do with the OAuth for Devices app as well. But if you want full-fledged management, conditional access, selective wipe, all the stuff that we've been talking about, that's when you would go to Intune as an add-on service to Office 365.
So that would work fine with OAuth.
That's one way to think of it, yes. Yeah, but not just OneDrive, the other apps as well. So if your Word, Docs, PowerPoint, Excel spreadsheets, if you want all that corporate data to be protected on the device, then, yeah, Intune would give that for you because we don't have that for the other apps. We only really have ActiveSync for Exchange and OAuth for Devices for the OAuth client. Just the ones that I've talked about, yes.
Okay, so that's not live yet. That's the top right calendar one.
Correct. Correct. Okay, so in terms of the apps that we support, it depends on what OS you're running. iOS 7 Plus, Android 4 Plus, and Windows 8.1, really those are the ones that we're targeting. Some of those things are TBD yet. We don't have all of the information that we need to have a plan there. And then you may have noticed that there, if you look under data protection, there are some things that simply aren't available, like OneNote. What else is missing? Yammer is not on there. Sway is not on there. You saw Sway in the keynote. Those things are not on there yet. But the other apps that are supported where it says, yes, we do support the conditional access, the selective wipe, the application management, and management for OAuth for devices, OneDrive for business, Word, PowerPoint, and Excel, those are all the ones that are coming in Q1 of next calendar year. All right. And then I don't think we have it on here, but for ActiveSync, the native email, the conditional access and selective wipe will be available for iOS and Android and Windows Phone as well.
So clarification, so for OneNote, you're saying you wouldn't be able to manage it?
Not natively. So what that means is if the OneNote application is installed on the device and it has corporate data on it, then if we were to do something like selectively wipe the corporate data, kill everything in the walled garden, that data would survive because it wouldn't be treated as protected walled garden data. So it's OneNote, Yammer, and Sway that aren't part of this walled garden yet.
But if they're using OneNote to access their file through OneDrive for business,
then it would be. If the data is stored in OneDrive and it's wiped because it's OneDrive on the phone and it's wiped that way, then it would be removed from that device. And then they wouldn't be able to go back and get it on that device because presumably once you wipe, then the device has to re-enroll.
How does it handle device updates?
In terms of pushing them out?
In terms of, like, recently nothing against Apple, all the issues that came up when Apple went to iOS 8 and they had a rush, you have these updates to come basically break items on the phone.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know,
I'm going to have to get back to you on that. Maybe you could send me that in email and I could find out because Obviously, we're still developing this. It hasn't been released yet, so we haven't gone through that type of OS change with this code. So I'm not sure if we've gone through tests to see, you know, it was down level once, now it's been brought up to date. How does it behave differently? But if you want to send me that in email, I could try to find out for you.
One more question. Yeah. Is the data in these walled gardens encrypted?
It is.
It is.
Yes, by default, yes. Yes.
About you said that if they wipe the data, that they had to re-enroll.
Yes.
And re-enroll is automated. So if you were actually removing somebody from the database, is there something?
Well, it's not automated. They have to authenticate as part of that. So if you've wiped the device because they've left the company, hopefully you've killed their account first, and then they can't re-authenticate to enroll. So unless they had somebody else's account. That's still not going to get them access to that data because it would be tied to theirs.
Okay, so yeah. For like repurposed devices, that would not be an issue?
No, not at all. So for a repurposed device, typically what I would do is I would terminate the account, wipe the device, and you could do the whole device, or if you just want to do the Office 365 stuff, you could do that. And then at that point, there may be personal stuff that are still tied to that user, but if it's a company device, you could wipe it out, set it back to factory, and give it to somebody else.
You just mentioned removing that account. You're talking about the user account?
The user's domain account, yeah.
So I'm an existing user, and all I'm doing is changing the phones.
Oh, so, and who's getting the old phone? If they're not somebody who can authenticate to the enrollment process,
well,
then... Right.
I mean, if I'm repurposing a phone...
Oh, sure, yeah. Once you've sanitized the device, you can do whatever you want with it. Give it to somebody else. That data is gone. Once that selective wipe is finished, that data is gone. So the only thing that you'd have to deal with is any personal data that the previous user had. Maybe they had pictures on there or videos or whatever, or they had a personal OneDrive data in there. That's why you might want to just wipe the device if you're giving it out. But if they don't have that data on there, if all they had was the workspace stuff, once you do the selective wipe, then that phone is clean. All right, so what do you say we actually look at some of this stuff? Okay, so again, I want to stress that this is a dog food. This is actively developed code. It's not been released. There are developers working on it right now as we speak in Redmond. So, in other words, that's my way of saying if everything starts to blow up on us like that, then don't worry about it. Okay, so, bear with me one moment. I can't let you see the password.
Why?
Why? I like my job too much. Oh, it is password. How did you figure it out? Okay, I won't let you see the username, which is not user. Damn it! You guys are too smart.
If somebody was using their own phone and you sent the stuff out to wipe it, would they be able to just go to iTunes and do a restore?
So, whether or not you allow any of the data to go outside that walled garden is completely within your control. And it's not just the data. You literally have the ability to control whether or not they can even copy and paste. So if I open a Word document that's in the walled garden and I select a bunch of text, I might not be able to paste it into my Hotmail account that I can access from that phone. So you have that protection. And the same mechanism you use to do that, it would be the same thing that you would use to block external backups of that data as well.
Okay,
so... This sucks. Relogging in did not fix that problem. But again, you know, with this particular site, we probably just wait 10 seconds, sign it again. Believe me, everybody's trying to get this ship, so there's a lot of work going on right now. Let's try one more time, and if it doesn't sign in, we'll do the other demos and then come back to this one. All right. I think we're in business. Okay, so I was going to say, if you haven't seen this before, this is what it looks like. But I know you haven't seen this before, so this is what it looks like. This is Microsoft Intune. This is the initial dashboard portal that we have. You can see that this particular dog food account that we're using doesn't really have a lot going on. I think there's a few policies that we provision. There's one device that's being managed. And that's why it makes this initial device health dashboard look a little uninteresting, because there's no telemetry or data coming in. But the dashboard itself is meant to to allow you to very quickly create policies, but also at a glance see the health of the devices, and more importantly, see those devices which are violating policies that you don't want maybe to be connected anymore, or someone that you need to go and talk to about that. So as an example, you know, there's one unhealthy device that's showing up here, and I can just click on that to hopefully drill into it. And I can see this was just somebody's device name, Daniel's device, and the reason this is shown up as unhealthy, as you can see down here, it says Microsoft Intune can no longer communicate with this device. So if we can't talk to a device for a while, it will automatically go into an unhealthy state to bubble up that it might be maybe a lost device or one that's not being used anymore, or something that the admin might want to chase down just to make sure there isn't a bunch of orphan data left out on some device that someone forgot about somewhere. But looking a little bit further at the same UI, you can see that if we were able to communicate with this device, we would now be able to see any alerts that the device issued, any policies that the device were violating, or any policies that were being enforced on the device, and then the software status of the device as well. And we can get a little bit of information about it, such as, you know, who's the user, what OS is this device running, what's the latest management state? So this would be the state as of the last time we communicated with the device. What it's being managed by, and that is actually an important piece, understanding the device, having an understanding that it is now a managed device and knowing how to operate and behave in that space. And then once it is a managed device and we can talk to it, we can also get some storage information about it, the last time we updated it in terms of policies, and then if this device or the user belongs to any groups, what groups that they're a member of as well. So I'm going to jump over into policies over here. And you can see the different types of policies that we have pre-configured for you. There's one, for example, for Exchange Online, one for Exchange On-Premises, one for SharePoint Online, and so forth. So why don't we go ahead and do an Exchange Online policy. And here I get some very basic configuration information. And it's telling me that if I create this policy, any devices that I have managed by either Intune and Azure AD, this policy can then take effect on those devices. I could, if I wanted to, make specific policies for specific devices. So if I wanted one policy for Android, I could do that. One for iOS, I could do that. One for Windows, I could do that. I'll show you what that looks like in a little bit as well. So right here, we're creating a new policy, and right away we have a great feature that's block email apps from accessing Exchange Online if the device is non-compliant. And so you could scope that to specific groups of users. So if you had some users who are working with, say, for instance, more sensitive data than other users, they might have a more restrictive policy on their devices than your general users and so forth. And then you also have the ability to support platforms that aren't directly supported by Intune. So we already talked about iOS 7 Plus, Android 4 Plus, and Windows 8.1. But maybe you've got devices that are earlier than those. You could have those semi-blocked or semi-allowed as well. Not every policy will apply to every unsupported device, but most devices should have the ability to at least be blocked or allowed based on their unsupported state. Okay, so I can just say save to this, and just like that, it saved a policy. But now, normally what it would do is it would refresh the data automatically, but you can see dog food wasn't able to refresh. Okay, so let's look at some of the other things that we can do. Let's look at some of the groups that we have. So if I wanted to manage devices by groups, I could look at all mobile devices. I can see all the direct managed devices, which would be devices that are managed by Intune itself. And I can see those devices that are ActiveSync managed. Those will bubble up as well. What else can I show you here? Under software, this is where you have the ability to detect software on devices and also manage software on the device. Click Add Software here. There's a quick .NET application. Oh, need to authenticate again. Give me just 1 second. Oh, well, as long as you won't tell anybody, then I'll go ahead and just type it in front of you. Okay, so as promised, I'm going to type the password in front of you. Don't tell anybody, all right? There it is. You saw me do it live. Okay, so software setup. Now I have the ability to publish software to these devices, and I can do that any number of ways. It could be through a software installer that I have that I'm actually going to have pushed to the device, which will execute and begin the installation process. It can be an external link, so it could be a link to the Google Store, to the iTunes, to the Windows Store, or it could be a managed iOS app from the App Store as well. I'm just going to say it's a software installer. If it is a software installer, what kind is it? Is it, you know, for Windows? Because, again, you can do Windows PCs. Is it an app package for Android, one for iOS? Let me zoom in so you can see this. Is it a Windows Phone app package or a Windows app package? So lots and lots of different choices here. And then basically what you would do is you just browse for the location of the software and then upload that, and you'll be good that way. Yes?
Well, I assume with, right. With policies, you can set it up so if you want certain software to be installed at enrollment.
Yeah, it may be possible. So RT is a little bit of a different type of device, so we are a little bit restricted in terms of what can be installed on there and the management capabilities. So I'm initially thinking it would more fall into the unsupported device category, but I'm not sure. I'm going to have to check and verify.
Besides RT, can you set up to install software
Basically any other Windows PC or any iOS or Android or Windows 8.1 phone that's supported. Yeah. Yes?
How do you keep them, you have this implemented in order to limit as far as where they can access, how do you keep them from just adding, say, email on the device just on their own in the way that they've always done it?
Well,
like, how does that factor?
So they can certainly configure email, but once you have these policies in place, they will then have to go through the enrollment process before email will work for them. So if you don't allow them to do that, then it doesn't matter what they've configured because they won't get access to their mailbox. And I'll show you what that experience looks like in a bit.
So you can set it up on this end where if they go and just try to add it to the device, just email it won't work?
Yeah, you would say enrollment is required. Yeah, and once enrollment is required, they can't just use the auto-discover capabilities. They actually have to enroll, be authorized as part of the enrollment, and have that authorization come down to the device as part of a management package. Yes?
We work around a lot of our employees are using to kind of bypass MDM, and it's just to use through the Internet Explorer, the true OWA. Is there going to be a way to block that in the future?
You can block that today. You've been able to block OWA since we introduced it.
All or nothing, right?
No, you can do that on our per mailbox basis. You can use SetMailbox or SetCAS Mailbox to do that.
I know I have 15,000 employees, which person is using OWA on the device.
You'd have to look through the OWA logs and look at the user agent string to figure that out. But that's actually, I hear laughing, but it's actually a lot easier than you think with PowerShell. All you're doing is a string search through a bunch of text files already. You don't have to do the heavy lifting. There's lots of scripts out there that will show you how to parse those logs. It's a very quick thing. Once you know what devices they are, then you can just start targeting them one by one.
So do you mind me asking what difference does it make if they're accessing OWA from a browser on their mobile device versus their machine at home versus their office computer? You're not storing anything locally. So just kind of curious what would drive that requirement.
Are you asking me or him? Yeah. I think he's asking you, Brian. Sure.
So they believe that mobile devices should be have a little bit more control than other devices. And they magically assume that the laptop at home is not going to have any data on it.
Right. Did that help? Okay.
There's also the web app versus the browser by itself, right? The web app actually caches some stuff.
You do have the ability to do offline with OWA. But you do have to use specific browsers that support that secure storage, right? But that's also something that you could create a policy that says don't allow OWA offline if you don't want them to. But those are really separate sets of policies. I mean, whether or not someone has browser access into the corporate data is completely separate from whether or not they have device access. And I know it can be confusing because we all have browsers on our devices, so it seems like it should be the same thing, but it's not. Browsers can run on all different platforms, and the devices can have all different operating systems, so they need separate sets of policies right now to manage them. All right, let's keep going here. Okay, so in terms of administration itself under MDM, you can see that you could do Windows, iOS, Windows Phone, Exchange, set up multi-factor authentication. You can enable others to be administrators, so you can have users in your organization who are just responsible for being device enrollment managers. So if you want to delegate that to subordinate administrators, you can do that. And see all the other admin tunes that you have here as well. You can also configure your company portal here. So if you want to notify your users with the terms and conditions of connecting their personal device to the workplace and accessing corporate data, this is where you would enter that stuff so it would be displayed for the user. Yes, well, and it's a great protection mechanism because the way in which it's displayed pretty much guarantees that everybody sees it. So nobody can claim that they didn't see the policy because they have to see it in order to continue.
Do they have to accept it to continue?
They do, yes. Explicit, yes. Yes, we've learned our lesson. Yes. Oh, sure, yeah. So they range from a bunch of different things. Endpoint protection, which would be in the case of PCs, if there's a problem with antivirus, anti-malware. Policies and notices. So notices would be anything that you would want to send out to the device. Policies would be for policy reporting and policy violation reporting. Remote assistance would be whether or not you're allowing remote assistance for devices that are capable of it. So that could be a Windows device, largely. And then the recipients would be who do you want the alerts to go to, and the notification rules are what alerts do you want to send to them.
I guess I was more curious, you made mention earlier about tracking the data. What kind of data you guys are collecting and how that applies to the alerts on a mobile device?
Tracking data. Did I say that? I don't think I said that.
Yeah.
The telemetry stuff, that was from the other session?
No.
Yeah.
I guess when we first started, you had said something about collecting data. So I wasn't sure.
I definitely said that in the previous session, because that's where we collected for things like clutter and people view and stuff like that. But I'm not aware of any data that we collect on the device. Oh, you mean like the storage space, that kind of stuff? You saw it on the other screen. That was what we could get. So let me go back to that, if that's what you were asking about.
But you can't track, for example, I think what you're getting to is like how much data you're using, like if you had a bandwidth cap or something like that.
No, we can only tell you total storage space and free storage space. We can't tell you anything about bandwidth. And that includes whether they use Wi-Fi or cell. We don't get any of that data. There are apps on the phone that can get that, like DataSense, that will track that for you, but that's not something that we get through Intune right now.
Okay.
Okay, let's...
I got one more question. Back to your first thing, we showed the unhealthy device that hadn't connected since October 29th.
Yes.
Is there any rule that you can put in place to say if it doesn't connect in 30 days, then wipe the device without... Because once it's...
There is. That would be part of the wipe policy. And so you wouldn't have to go and see that. You could just have that as part of the policy. Any device that hasn't connected within X days, perform a selective wipe. Okay, so let's look at the enrollment stuff from the end user perspective. So we don't actually have devices, and the enrollment process may or may not always work given that it's dog food code. So I'm going to walk you through some screen captures that will show you largely exactly what the user will have to do in order to enroll and start doing these things. So we'll do both the downloading and signing into Office, and then we'll also look at what it looks like when you connect via ActiveSync and how we change the procedure to a managed experience for you. So let's start with the Office apps. And this one is going to demonstrate it on an iPad device or an iPhone device in this case. So they start by clicking the App Store. So they go into the App Store, and they start looking for the Office apps. So they go and find OWA for iPad. They click Open. They install it. Then they authenticate. Once they authenticate, they sign in. Then they get this message that says, you need to enroll your device. So it's not enough that they just have a username and password. They have to go through an enrollment process. The device needs to be inspected to see if it's supported and healthy, and if so, then they can go through that.
What is the inspection, the app itself?
Intune sends some data down to the device to interrogate device info, such as the operating system, the device ID, and a couple other bits of information around storage.
This app is doing all that. There's not some other app that has to be installed that checks
it. No, not at all. This app, it's the enrollment process is integrated with all the different apps. So in this example, we're doing it through the OWA for app, but you saw in the OneDrive on the tablet, the enrollment part there, it was the OneDrive app that was controlling the enrollment.
So the
So the individual apps connect with Intune. Intune tells them you're a managed device, you need to enroll. Intune then, actually before Intune tells them that, it gets that information from the device, what OS are you running, et cetera, et cetera. Then it says, okay, you're a supported device, you need to enroll, and then they see this screen. So at this screen, they click enroll, or they touch enroll. And now they have to download the company portal to do the actual enrollment process. So the setup of the enrollment is done natively between the app and Intune, but we need an app on the device in this case so that the device understands that it's now a managed device. And this is how we do that. So they click View. They go ahead and view the details of, it says Windows Intune. Again, it's going to be Microsoft Intune. And they click Open to install it. They go through the installation process, and then that starts the enrollment process. And you can see behind that enrollment window is the management app, that company portal app that they've installed. So now that the company portal app is installed, it kicks off this enrollment wizard. They click Enroll, and now they install the management profile. And again, this is necessary so that the device recognizes that it's a managed device. So they click Install. They read the warning about that, how once you do this, and this is the same warning you get if you connected a Windows phone to a workplace account. It's just letting them know that this might be your personal device, but once you go through this process, your company's administrator now pretty much has full and unfettered access to your device. They could get your data, they could wipe your data, they have total control.
And this process terms and conditions.
Yes. And also, there is also, if we back up, that more information about enrolling, it should say enrolling your device. There's a typo in our mock-up. But that is where they would see it as well. Yes?
Second, if you try to enroll devices not healthy, does it automate the process to make it healthy, or do you have to make healthy and then re-enroll?
So the health is designed by a predetermined set of criteria that the system uses to distinguish a healthy phone from an unhealthy phone. So some of the criteria include whether or not it's up to date, whether or not it has been jailbroken, whether or not it has, in the case of a Windows PC, which this can also manage, or an iPad, does it have any known vulnerabilities or any known issues and so forth. And as long as it comes up all green on that health profile, then life is good, everything's great. If any one of those things comes out bad, then the device itself is considered unhealthy. Or if we can't talk to it for, I think, 14 days by default. Okay, so they click enroll. They install this. Once that's done, now they're ready to set a passcode. This would be a PIN policy because the device is now managed. They can go ahead and do that now. And once they've done that, then OWA for devices, as you can see here, will start working for them, and they can start seeing all their mail.
Got a question.
Yes.
Intune, if Intune's installed on it, and they set up the passcode, and it's a company phone, they turn the phone back in, can Intune get around that passcode?
Well, the way you would get around that would be to wipe it at that point.
Okay, so yeah. If I wanted to archive whatever they did for, you know, business continuity purposes or something like that.
Well, ideally, in that case, the device should hopefully just have a copy of data they already have in some other repository, their mailbox, their OneDrive site, somewhere else. So you should have all of that data already in absence of having physical access to the phone. Right, yeah. So in that case, if you can't get it by going into their mailbox and pulling it out of their contacts folder, if they've only got it stored on the device, then they've done so by storing them in personal data, which, you know, the Intune won't get to. So the personal data would be considered personal to that user. If it were a company phone, then you would probably invoke the policy that says they're not allowed to store any personal data on it, and then you wouldn't have that issue. Okay, I want to answer the question, but I also want to keep going so we can go through the demo. So go ahead.
Just a quick one. So a user who is already using like OWA for iPad today, mm-hmm. and they get, and we enroll them in Microsoft Intune in the future, they'll just get prompted to re-enroll or to enroll at that point?
If today, yes. At that point, yeah, once the device becomes managed, it's like they're starting over in terms of access. The data that they may have already downloaded will still be in that app, but they won't have any access to it until the enrollment process is completed. And again, I'm going to show you what that looks like in the next section when we see what happens if they just try to connect up the native mail app with ActiveSync. So, and again, we'll do this on the same platform here. So we've got our Apple device, except that we're using ActiveSync now and not OWA for devices. So they go into settings, they go into mail, and they want to create a new account, and that account is going to be for Exchange. So they choose Exchange, they put in their information, just like you would for AutoDiscover. AutoDiscover does its thing, finds their mailbox information, and boom, they're all set to go into the native mail app using ActiveSync. So they touch the mail app and they open it, but guess what? Their device isn't enrolled. And so instead of getting their mailbox, they get what we call an enrollment quarantine message. And this message says, your device is not enrolled. You need to complete the enrollment process first. You do so by clicking that link. Okay? So they go ahead. They're like, okay, well, I've got to enroll. So I'll click on that. And I can read the message. And now there's two things that I need to do here. One is that I need to enroll the device. And the second is to check the compliance status. So I start with number one. I click on enroll the device, and now that takes me to the Intune company portal. I install that again if it's not already there. Once it's there, I begin the enrollment process and basically go through the same thing I went with OWA for devices. So no matter which way they try to hook up a mail app to the data on this device, once it's a managed device, they have to go through the enrollment. They do that, and now they can go into email. And now they have to do number two, check the device compliance status, They go in here. We've got some information about it. It says it is compliant. It's an iPad mini. It's 1G. It's good to go. Now they can go back into mail. They've got the passcode requirement that they have to do. And there's all their messages.
There's no requirement for the company portal at that point, right? For the EAS client?
For the EAS client, no. At that point, because the EAS client really was designed outside of the MDM sphere, if you will.
Currently, through the ActiveSync security stuff, can you tell it to force a security code whenever they install?
Yes. Yes, and that's what this prompt was doing here. This passcode requirement of saying you need a PIN because there's a policy required.
It's not there by default. You haven't right. actually said it.
That's right, and that could come from ActiveSync or it could come from Intune because the same set of policies that you get in ActiveSync. Think of ActiveSync as a subset of the policies that you'd have available through Intune. So everything we can do in ActiveSync, we can do in Intune, and then there's a whole bunch more stuff we can do in Intune. Correct. Well, so we do have the ability to do on-premises stuff. We've been talking largely in the context of the cloud, but Intune itself can connect and work with an on-premises exchange. And I think in the UI you may have seen the groups and the policies we had where some were Exchange Online, some were Exchange on-premises. So Exchange is the workload where we can do both online and on-prem. SharePoint, as you may have seen, that's online only right now.
Can you restrict a user from running the
MDM solution? Yes, through policy by controlling which applications they can run and can't.
But if they just uninstall that MDM app, then all the other apps will stop working.
That's right. It'll become an unmanaged device. Well, it'll become an orphaned device at that point because the system will still think it's managed. So when the user tries to access the data, even though the device says, hey, I'm free of restrictions now, once they connect to the cloud's going to say, no, you're not. You're supposed to have this policy, and so you need to go through the enrollment process and get the company portal back on.
And they won't be able to see any of the data they download.
Right. I guess the easier way to think about it is once you put this, I don't want to use the term fortress around things, but it does seem to apply. Once you put that wall around things, that pretty much locks things up for the user. There's no back doors. There's no way for them to get data across that wall if you've got the right policies in place. It would, because Intune wouldn't be able to fully communicate with it because we need the management side to get some of that information from. So without the, I don't want to call it an Intune client because that's not what it is, but it is the Intune company portal app. But without that, Intune can't really do things that it needs to do on the device, so it would show up as unhealthy.
Sorry, one question. So yep. I assume if you're not over Wi-Fi and there seems to be regular communications going on between the Intune app and the servers, I think that communication is pretty minimal to where if you had limited data plan, that wasn't going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah. It's only going to come into play when you are doing something that would maybe cause a policy refresh or you're actually accessing the data and going through one of those processes. But so as an example, enrollment, it's a one-time thing. Once you're done, you're not using any other bandwidth. Policy enforcement, that happens because the policies are sent down to the phone. So the phone isn't going to get any policy updates unless the policies are changed on the service. So if you've created a bunch of policies and you're not changing them, again, no bandwidth is really being used there.
The service is kind of pinging the phone periodically to make sure that you're responding, right?
No. We are tracking when the phone connects to us, not the other way around. We're not trying to reach out to the phone. We're just keeping track of when the phone connects to us. So, yes.
I
want to make sure we have time to. Yes, we do. Yes.
Devices already have some of these apps on them now, and then you go and you implement this, say, a year and a half or so once the MDM is out. How does that work as far as the apps are already there? Will it then, okay, now that the organization has this, the next time I go to use the app?
So think of the apps right now and the data they contain as being in an open garden. And once you put the MDM stuff in place, you're walling off the Office 365 data in its own private garden, separate from all the other data on the phone.
So when they go to tap on that icon again, it's going to prompt them?
Or that's right. Once you flip the switch, if you will, that's when the policies apply and access becomes restricted through conditional access, and they have to go through the enrollment process to reconnect up. I know, it's like we thought of everything, right? Okay, so we've talked about what the experience looks like on the iOS devices. Let's look at it from the Windows device. It's not going to be too earth-shatteringly different, if that's a word. So same thing, the user, hey, they've got their new phone. They want to go into settings, set up for email. So they go into email and accounts. They add an account. They put in their credentials. AutoDiscover finds it, they try to open up the mailbox, and they get their quarantine message. Okay, it says device not enrolled. They open up the message, it says you've got two things that you need to do. One is enroll the device, the other is to activate it once you've done that. So they click on enroll the device. That will automatically redirect to the Intune portal through the web browser. And then that will invoke the workplace mechanism within Windows Phone settings. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that, but if you go into settings, you'll see workplace. And that's what this feature is. It is setting up your phone to securely host in a managed way company data. And again, we give you that warning there about once you add this workplace account, it's as if your device is now an extension of the corporate network and your admin can do everything. They can disable your SD card, they can encrypt your storage, they can remotely delete all of your contents and settings. So we're letting you know that as soon as you enroll your device. So you say, that's cool. You click add account anyway, and you go ahead and enter in your email address and you sign in. And now it's setting up the workplace settings account. So you put in your organization credentials. You click sign in. It will add the account. You have the option to install that company portal here, although it's not required on Windows Phone, but we give you the checkbox if you want to go ahead and install it. You click done. And now you can see under workplace, Contoso ID is the name of the organization, and you can see we're enrolled. So that's the enrollment process. The next thing is they have to do the activation process. So they go back to that quarantine message and they click on step two. This is very similar to what the iPad did in terms of checking its health status. This is kind of the same thing that we're doing here. This activation process looks at the device, makes sure it's got the updates, that there's nothing unusual or weird about the device.
How come that doesn't happen during the enrollment process?
I don't know. It's just the way they developed it. It's an interesting question, though, but I'm not sure why they did that. Once activation is done, you can see the message indicator went from 1 to 4, indicating that they now have access to their mailbox and all of their messages.
Does this work the same way for the Surface, or is Surface treated as a PC?
Surface depends on what it's running. So Surface running Pro or Enterprise would be treated as a PC. So this is really just for Windows Phone 8.1. All right. Just a little technical info on how the conditional access is working here. So we've got the users and their devices, and then the three cloud parts to this whole process, Intune, Azure AD, and obviously Office 365 workloads. So the admin goes in, they go through the Office 365 admin portal, and the Intune stuff will be integrated, so they'll configure their device management and their conditional access policies. That stuff will then get propagated to both Intune and to Active Directory, so we can save policy objects and things like that. When the user goes to enroll their device, they're initially talking to Intune, and Intune will evaluate the device and verify that it meets whatever compliance policies the organization has set up. And then Intune will also take a report of those policies and report it into Azure AD so that it can be shown in the Intune UI later on. Once that stuff is done, the user then goes through the authentication process that you saw, and then conditional access is then granted into, in this case, the Office 365 data. So that's what it looks like when you're using Intune. If you're not using Intune, if you're just using Exchange Active Sync, and you want to see what conditional access looks like, that also has three parts to it. The Active Sync server, which is going to be an Exchange client access server. The Active Sync client, which could be a Windows phone, an Android, an iPhone. And then the Intune component off to the side as well. So an Active Sync user, they do what you saw in that demo. They'll enter in their credentials. Auto Discover will kick in, find out what server to talk to. They'll talk to their Exchange server. The server will then look in Azure AD to figure out what the device's compliance state is. Once it has that information, it's going to push the device into a quarantine state and then quarantine it with that single message where they have the two steps, one to enroll, one to activate or register. And then once they've done from that, then they can go through the workplace join and become part of the Intune management paradigm. All right, a few other things that will happen there. Once they are part of the Intune management paradigm, then the device object, it changes from being just a, I don't want to say dumb Active Sync device, but an unmanaged Active Sync device to a managed MDM type device. And so there will be additional attributes and values for those properties that are assigned to those objects in Azure AD once they're enrolled. All right. So in terms of the mobile application management, this is a full Intune. Okay, so this, as we talked about earlier, it does require an Intune license or SKU that's not included in the built-in MDM that we have in Office 365. So this would be additional and on top of it. And you can see some of the benefits that we have, but I think we've talked about them fairly well today. Some of the additional capabilities that you get, though, and again, this is why it requires a full license, is it allows you to do things like deploy certificates, manage Wi-Fi settings, manage VPN configuration settings, manage all email profiles, all bulk management, all of the self-service in the company portal. All this stuff lights up once you have Intune deployed. And then, of course, for PCs, you can do things like connect it with System Center 2012 R2. You can also have some software management that you saw earlier, where you can send software down to those PCs. You can do some hardware and software inventory on the devices and PCs. And, of course, configure all the policies that we've been talking about. All right, how are we doing on time? Okay, any questions up till now? Let me just go back to the screen real quick. Yes.
Is the next generation of Windows Intune, it's not like a separate product from Windows Intune, right? It adds new capabilities.
So that is TBD right now, to be determined.
Do you know, whenever this thing, whenever we purchase this, is it going to be licensed per device or per user?
Licensing and packaging has also not yet been, sometimes we say not yet been determined, but really that means we're not ready to disclose it.
Okay.
I should say.
You know,
yeah.
We have some users that have a desktop, laptop, cell phone, and an iPad.
Sure.
And, you know, is that four licenses for them or one?
Sure.
You see, just maybe as another drop down in the portal.
Well, hopefully, that's, you know, ultimately what we're going to. We want to put as much into the product, and when I say the product, the Office 365 product, as much as we can in there so that you don't have to jump from UI to UI to UI just to get stuff done. And you can see, you know, the one of the first forays of that is the Compliance Center that I talked about earlier. And if you go to the DLP or the e-discovery session that are both coming up after lunch, you'll see the Compliance Center and what we're kind of going for there. But initially, because again, this is still being built and it's brand new, how it will look when we actually RTM is still under works right now.
Is there any chance that it's going to be limited to just enterprise, or will it be available for mid-size Office 365?
Again, that's licensing and packaging. Okay. Not disclosing yet. But we will, when we get ready to do that, you know, we're going to be doing it in a lot of places. You may see field advisories come out. You'll definitely see blogs on office.com about it. It's just usually that's like the thing we don't talk about pre-release. Everything else, you know, I can show you pre-release code, I can show you mock-ups and stuff, knowing that's all subject to change, but the licensing and things like that we don't typically announce until that day. Yes. Well, I don't know. If you want to send that to me an email, I can try to find out for you. But my initial gut is no, I don't think you can't. But I want to be 100% sure on that. So, no. Oh, you caught on to that, huh? All right. Yeah, send me that in email, and I'll be a little more coy with the answer.
Yeah.
Let's start him and then I'll come back to you.
I guess a kind of complimentary question. You mentioned System Center 2012 R2. Mm-hmm. Is Windows Intune or Microsoft Intune intended to complement it? The feature set that's...
Intended to complement it. Well, yes. Yeah, sure. Well, it would be both. Okay. Because they're both doing management functionalities. So you would see integration among that. But the things that they can use, there is both small and large differentiations between the things that they can do. And so in that respect, they would complement each other.
Okay. Would they enroll twice then?
No. We only would require the one enrollment for Intune. I don't think they would have to separately enroll in System Center.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that. I haven't personally done that myself, so I can't say whether that's the case. But I haven't heard or seen anything that says they would have to do that.
Okay.
Yes?
Two things. One, he's asking about integrating with System Center, but would it be able to integrate, you know, if there's any chance I'll be able to integrate with any other management consoles?
Such as?
Spiceworks.
Yeah, I don't know at this time, and I would say most likely not in V1. I would say if there were going to be connectivity or some form of API, that would be coming a little bit later. No, it would be something we would plumb into ours, like we've done with the Office 365 API. But that's not something that is going to be out next quarter.
And if you have a mixed environment where you have a lot of systems on the domain, but you have some laptops that have like the home version of Office and stuff.
Right.
Intune would be really good for managing those because they don't have to be part of the domain for it to be managed, right?
Correct. They just have to authenticate and enroll.
Yeah. Okay.
You do get, there is a few more things that you can do with domain joined systems, but being domain joined is not a requirement. All right, well, we probably have time for maybe one more question, and then it'll be time to send you to lunch. Or if you're really hungry, no more questions.
I think some of the, back of that first slide, the one where you can selectively wipe just the app, must be out there now, because I recently just installed OWA on a tablet to Office 365 Small Business, and it gave me that.
Yes, for OWA for devices, yes. So, right, so if you're just using ActiveSync, you have no granularity, you're wiping the device. If you're using OWA for devices, you can wipe the OWA app.
Because it asks you right. Which one do you want to do.
That's right.
And I was surprised that, so I just right. The app password. So
yeah.
So if I go and wipe that, it'll just wipe the OWA.
Correct.
And not the whole device.
Correct. Right. So ActiveSync can wipe the device, OWA can wipe the app, and Intune can wipe all the corporate data. So it's different tiers of it. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming, and I hope you enjoy your lunch.